Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 55. Dave, I'm in New York, and as you know, we occasionally have some technology problems when I'm on the road, so we'll see what we can do today. How are things down in Florida?
Everything is great. Interesting day. Some great football yesterday. It was nice to be able to sit back and watch some things and not have to worry about, posting as much, because there really wasn't that much Steeler-related stuff until kind of after some of the games played out.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, and let's spend some time talking about the games that played yesterday. But first, why don't you bring us up to speed on the latest, the MRIs from Roethlisberger, Pouncey, where we stand, and kind of what the early opinion is as to who's going to be available on Monday.
Scott Brown tweeted out this morning that Roethlisberger was not at practice today. I don't imagine that practice was too in-depth. You know, they're coming back from kind of a mini couple of days off there. Roethlisberger was in a walking boot. He was at the facility today. And all the teammates, from all the reports coming out early, all of his teammates are saying they would not be surprised if he starts, next Monday night against the 49ers. In fact, some are saying they expect him to start. So, that's good news there. We're not going to know more until the week progresses. I doubt that Tomlin's going to tip his hand too much at the Tuesday press conference. The other injury really of note is Marquise Pouncey. He evidently has shed that boot, and he's still revealing, saying the same things that he said after the game, and that is that he intends to play, and that this injury is not as bad as the one that sidelined him for the Super Bowl last February. As I mentioned, I think he has shed the boot. So, I wouldn't expect these guys to practice that much during the week leading up to the game. But by all accounts right now, it looks like they're real good to play. Now, we don't have an update on Troy Polamalu or Ziggy Hood. Hood went down with that groin strain kind of early in the game. Polamalu was kind of pulled out late in the game with what I think is a hamstring tweak, and unconfirmed sources tell me it was just a grade one strain, so take that for what it is. It'll be interesting to see his participation level as we get into the week.
Yep. A couple things on that. It's just just reemphasize kind of how amazing it is that Roethlisberger made it back for the second half of that game. I'll be interested to see, Dave, and you talk about this and I talk about this. There's obviously the issue of, what kind of damage are you going to do when you play? And we'll see what his mobility is like. I'm sure they can really kind of immobilize that ankle, so he can probably be in a situation where he won't do a ton of damage to it as long as he doesn't get hit. And, we all know the situation with the Steelers, that the probability seems to be that they will be the first seed, or they'll end up being the fifth seed, if I were going to guess right now. So these games still do have a fair amount of significance, and you want to get that bye to get guys healthy. But then again, you want to maybe rest Ben. So if it turns out that they lose the Niner game, maybe they approach the last couple games differently. I'm very interested to see. And we talked on our Friday podcast about Pouncey needing to use leverage as a center, being the guy who is maybe less likely of the two to play, but he seems to be further ahead in his recovery, and it looks like maybe he is going to be good to go. I thought the one interesting thing that came out is that whole time up to the Super Bowl, you were led to believe that Pouncey had an ish chance of playing, whether that's 50-ish or 40-ish chance of playing, but it sounds like now when they're talking this week and referring back to that, there was no chance Pouncey was going to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And they were not able to clinch a playoff spot yesterday to no fault of their own. They did their part beating the Browns. There's some scenarios still out there, I think, that involved Denver, the Jets and Tennessee of all people, and somehow I think it comes down to some strength of victory things with the Broncos not winning the division and the Raiders winning the AFC West out there. So it's very, I think, David, I think both me and you have a better chance of winning the lottery than the Steelers, you know, have at not making the playoffs at this point. So then as you put, you know, out there, you know, they still are in play for the number one seed, too. I mean, let's face it, the Texans could still lose a game, and the Ravens most certainly could still lose a game this next coming week against the San Diego Chargers on Sunday night. And let's not forget, they still have one against the Bengals as well, too. So there is some high seeds and some home field advantage still at stake, and that's why I think if Roethlisberger is able to get out there and play on that bad ankle without doing it further damage, which, I mean, that's a fine line right there. Same with Pouncey. I think they'll be out there.
Yeah, I got to think that probably is going to be the case. And as we've talked about, guys are getting healthy. It looks like, you know, if we were going to guess, continue to guess, Woodley's obviously a question mark. You would think Arnez Battle's probably starting to get healthy. I wouldn't expect to see Manny Sanders at all. I wouldn't expect to see Chris Carter and then a couple other guys there on the fringes. We'll see how that goes. We have Tomlin's press conference tomorrow. That'll give us some further insight into where everybody is. But I got a chance to see a few minutes of the Niners game yesterday, and I think this is the Niner team that this is the type of team they are. They're a solid defensive team, but Larry Fitzgerald had a big day. Skelton hit him with a couple balls that he turned into much longer runs with some yak after the catch, yards after the catch on good runs. They haven't given up a rushing touchdown all year, but this is a game that the Steelers, you know, it's a very winnable game for the Steelers. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, now, you know, I think you hit it on the head. I think we see what the 49ers might, you know, kind of a glimpse of what they really are. And, I mean, let's face it, the Cardinals' secondary, in my opinion, is not very good. You know, and that's kind of putting it lightly out there. I mean, you know, you got Patrick Peterson over there, but yeah, then you've got Richard Marshall, who really is below the line of a player, in my opinion, at the other corner. Wilson, who you know, is a good, strong safety, but then you have Johnson, the other free safety over there. You even had Nick Eason playing nose tackle yesterday for them because they had lost their other young nose tackle, you know, a few games ago, I think, for the season there. So, And the Cardinals play a defense very similar. They, you know, with Ray Horton over there as defensive coordinator, they try to model a lot of things that the Steelers do over on defense. So if the Steelers can actually just keep this game close, no explosive plays, you know, this is a game the Steelers can certainly win, especially when you look at how Alex Smith, I think, went 18 for 37 yesterday for only 175 yards. Their third down conversion efficiency, they were 3 for 17 on third downs against the Cardinals. Now, of course, the Cardinals helped them out returning the favor with a 3 for 14 on third downs, but I've gone through a little bit of that game myself, and boy, that really was ugly. So this is really a game that the Steelers, even not at full strength, will have a shot to win.
Yep, and just as we talk about the number one seed, I think, you know, I don't know if the average Steeler fan was rooting for the Bengals yesterday or rooting for the Texans. You know, I had a little financial interest in the Texans, but what I probably would have liked to see the Bengals win that game by a point, because the Texans now, T.J. Yates has played reasonably well. He was pretty good yesterday, brought him down 13 actually to get the two tying scores in the last 11 minutes. And they now have Carolina at home, at Indianapolis, and Tennessee at home. Now, that Tennessee game may matter as the Titans try to continue to struggle for a wild card spot. But all of a sudden, where it looked like maybe the Ravens and the Steelers were in the driver's seat for the number one seed, you got to say the Texans have a real shot at it.
Yeah, I do not think they own – I think they are dependent on a Baltimore loss in there, though.
Correct.
Somehow in there. I think even though they're right now technically the one seed, I think if Baltimore wins out, I think they would have the number one seed. I can't remember the instance with New England, you know, between New England and Houston. If they're the last two teams, I would have to look that up and all. But, yeah, the Houston still has a lot to play for. going forward here. And really, to me, I think the next game against Carolina would be their only challenge Cam Newton at quarterback, able to stretch the field and all. I firmly see them taking care of Indiana in week 16, and by week 17, I fully expect the Titans to be out of that. And then, they're only going to be playing for pride in the division at that point.
Yep. And so the highlights, two things happened today. Two head coaches get fired. Jack Del Rio got fired last week. We went a long time in the NFL where coaches didn't get fired during the season. It was the Monday after the final game where a lot of guys would get the axe. Today, a little bit of a surprise to me that Miami fired whatever his name is, Sperano. I keep wanting to call him Soprano. Sperano. And the reason is, Miami was 4-1 in their last five and playing as well as just about as well as most teams in about as well as anybody in the AFC. They had smoked Oakland the week before, and then they lost to an Eagles team that went down there and played a relatively conservative game plan. Clearly, they were looking to get rid of him as soon as possible because you rarely would see a guy go 4-2 and then get canned. And then Todd Haley, who by all accounts or by a lot of accounts is a complete jackass, although a lot of people would take the other side of that and say Scott Pioli, the GM in Kansas City, is the bad guy. But they have had a fractious relationship. They got to the playoffs last year, and there was a lot of speculation, even after getting to the playoffs, that he'd get the axe last year. This team's, they got smoked by the Jets yesterday, and he's out as well.
Yeah, I don't think none of these are a surprise. Boy, Haley, that one drive, they gave up like 80-something yards worth of penalties on, I think, and Haley was responsible for one of them. It's going to be interesting to see, they've got Romeo Crennel in there right now as the intern, and then, of course, there's speculation that Josh McDaniels with the Rams could be on the radar as the head coach there next year. We're going to have to let that play out. The Dolphins, who knows what's going to go on there? Maybe Cowher, maybe Jeff Fisher, I don't know, Jaguars last week. I think we're starting to see that the interim guy in there right now is on his kind of how should we say it, kind of a demo right now, trying to show what he can do with the squad over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and out of that game, I'll tell you, Raheem Morris has clearly lost the Bucs. I think they lost, that was their seventh or eighth loss in a row. This is a team that won 10 games last year. I expected them to take a step back this year. I think a lot of things went their way last year, but it's turned completely and getting smoked by the Jaguars. They gave up two defensive touchdowns, but 41 points to a team that can't score against anybody. He may be next on the list after being one of the kind of bright up and coming coaches just a year ago.
Yeah, I really thought the Buccaneers were going to have something this year. I've got to be honest with you. I had liked what I'd seen in Freeman, coming into this season, but he clearly, I don't know what's going on over there. Of course, I haven't watched a lot of the Buccaneers games this year, but he's definitely one that could be on the outs, following when Black Monday finally hits.
Did you get a chance to see the Tom Brady flare up with Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator on the sideline? And what was your take from that?
I loved it. Any Steelers fan loves it that it's not always paradise over there, but we've seen Brady flare up before. Let's face it, they have to outscore people to win games. We've seen this all year long that the Patriots defense is susceptible to giving up points in offense. And when they miss one of those drives right there, I think Bill O'Brien said something to him about the pass or whatnot, that somebody else was open. Brady responded, but I think they put it behind them real fast there. But I got a chuckle out of it. The thing that aggravated me the most in the game was the penalty, the penalty when Brady slides at the last minute there, and they get the personal foul, and only Tom Brady probably gets that call.
Yeah, obviously you can't blame Tom Brady. He didn't make the call, but yeah, it was a bad call. And Santana Moss really had a bit of a tirade in the post game talking about, we feel like we're playing the other team and the refs. The thing, I'll tell you, this is why Tom Brady's this is why I respect the guy. He got up there at the podium afterward. He said, look, he was, you know, I made a bad pass, and he told me I made a bad pass, and he was pissed off, and he had every right to be pissed off. And I think there was a line of coaches and players who would have liked to tell me the exact same thing. We have no problem about it. That's the sign of a good organization. Put that stuff behind them, and they did. But, I got a good laugh of that on the sideline as well. I was watching that game, and I will tell you, their secondary is bad. Their defense is not good. We'd like to get them if we get them at home, but they're a team that's going to have to put up, you know, they're going to have to put up 30 a game to make it through in the playoffs.
And they're damn well capable of doing that, too. That Gronkowski, boy, that's one hell of a tight end right there. When you throw in, Aaron Hernandez, we've talked about their two tight end system all year and all offseason. And, even if they don't, you know, you got Wes Welker outside of that and a semi-capable running game enough to take the pressure off, 100% off the passing game, they do have to outscore people. But I think, you know, that they are also susceptible to running into a one-week buzzsaw as well, too. So, they'll be in the playoffs, but to say that they're a slam dunk to win it all in the AFC, you just can't do it at this point.
Yeah, no question. The AFC now looks like there are, four really solid teams all sitting now at 10-3 in the Steelers and the Ravens, obviously, and the Pats and the Texans. Any of those four teams can win the NFC. Now we got to get to the other team. It's just ridiculous what is going on in Denver. I got to see the second half of that. Tebow goes into the fourth quarter, 3 of 16, albeit with a bunch of drops by his receivers, and goes 18 to 24 for 190 some yards, a touchdown to get him within three. Prater kicks a 59-yard field goal that would have been good from about 80. And then, God makes the Bears fumble on the overtime possession, and Prater hits a 51-yarder.
Yeah, let's go ahead and set up this call here. We had why don't you set up this call? We'll play this for the listeners, then we'll come back and give our thoughts on it.
Yeah, we got it. We had our guy from we got a call on our Yinzer line, Dave. You might want to give everybody that number. But this was some pretty funny stuff. Let me make sure I can get us into the right line here, so that hopefully it comes out properly, that everybody can hear it. But here's a message we got left to us today on the Yinzer line.
This isn't a question so much as a statement in regards to Tim Tebow. This is from Johnny Steeler. I'm the kid with the badass Brett Kiesel tattoo. If you look around the league, I don't think you're going to find many Satanists. A lot of those young men out there are really big on the Jesus train. So what makes Tebow so special? The fact that the miracle is that he's playing in the NFL because he stinks as a quarterback. If he wasn't such an uber-religious person, this would be a non-story. And it's like the Steelers in 2001. Without a quarterback in Cordell, I don't care how good the defense is or the running game, you're not going to win. It's only a matter of time. And mark my words, 2012, Tim Tebow is going to go the way of the Wildcat offense. It's sensationalism. That's it. It's poop. I love the show. Thank you. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, that was a great call by Johnny Steeler. He evidently follows the show quite a bit and all. We appreciate him listening. And, his comment about that if it wasn't for his religious beliefs, would he be the story that he is right now? And I do subscribe to that because, I've said all along that Tim Tebow, his mechanics are awful here. Not enough of these wins are getting credited to the play of the defense. Look at Prater and those long kicks. Those were not easy kicks to make yesterday. And when you tie in all the other unique circumstances into it, the Marion Barber not going out of bounds yesterday, the fumble in overtime there that turned the ball back over, all these little instances throughout these last several weeks, when you tie them all together, it is easy to throw in the God, the religion and all like that. And you know what, Dad, I was talking to my wife the other day and she pretty much said the same thing, but I said, hey, the thing we've got, the Steelers have a player in Troy Polamalu who outwardly blesses himself after every play. Now, of course, the camera does not show it every play. Polamalu's name has been brought up in some of these Tim Tebow stories that you're hearing about. And then when you throw in, like, I think ESPN the other night had back-to-back episodes of Tim Tebow. One was the leading up to the draft of him that they had that kind of documentary, and one that I'd never seen before was Tim Tebow, The Chosen One, which dates all the way back to his play back in high school and his decision to go to Florida for college. So the media, I fully expect this is a story that the media loves because you have religion in there, the controversy, you have the actual on-field play of Tebow, which, you know, by all accounts, it seemed to be taking place mostly in the fourth quarter. His mechanics are not very good, and you boil all this together, and it makes perfect fodder for the networks and the media to talk about.
Yeah, he's a polarizing guy for a lot of the reasons you stated. One of the things that Tebow got ripped a lot in college, you go to a school like Florida, people are going to dislike you just because you're at Florida, and then, you know, throw in the religious stuff. But this is good. Denver is a story because they've won 7 of the last 8 games. And certainly it is not Tim Tebow asking for the spotlight. He is as humble and supportive of his teammates as anybody could be. So, you know, if people don't like it, the kind of evangelical view he takes toward religion, that's perfectly fine. But I'm going to just say, look, the guy is a quality guy. Nobody expected him to perform well. And what's entertaining is every game he plays, his detractors and his supporters get more evidence to support their case. It's just ridiculous. We were, you know, I'm in the bar watching with a bunch of guys yesterday. And for 45 minutes, Denver offense is miserable. And we literally are looking at each other with 8 minutes to go and say, you know, it's Tebow time. They're going to score. And I really honestly believed it. And then they scored the second time. They win in overtime. And I'll tell you, everybody in the bar was loving it. They're not non-Bronco fans. People were enjoying the story. And certainly it does make for great media. And next week's game against the Patriots in Denver, I'm sure, will be the most watched NFL game of the year.
Well, and the media wins either way there. It's Brady versus Tim Tebow here. The media wins either way in the fact that if the Broncos knock them off, oh, that's the Tim Tebow effect. If New England ends up winning, well, that's because Denver's defense wasn't able to hold Brady under X amount of points there. And, you know, Tim Tebow did all he could do to bring him out. Now, let me kind of tap something on top of this, okay? Here's the reasoning. Tim Tebow has such a great positive attitude. I'm sure he's very, very well-liked now in his locker room, not only because the Broncos are winning, but because of the confidence that he broadcasts. I think a player can't actually make players better around him in certain situations of the game by carrying that type attitude. Now, is it, you know, to put a measure on how much greater he makes the players around him because of that attitude, I can't do that. But it always seems to be in the fourth quarter. Maybe they just know after all these several weeks, well, here we are in the fourth quarter. Maybe if I give just this one extra bit here and the way things have been going here, maybe if I reach out for this ball, just, you know, uncatchable ball a little bit more and make this catch, maybe that will be the difference in the ball game here. So is Jesus behind all the all these wins for the Broncos? Does Tim Tebow pray harder than the next guy? Absolutely not. You know, I don't believe that. I just believe that you have a situation here that, and our caller's right. You know, if it wasn't for the religion in this, if you just had a quarterback running, you know, the triple option here, and he was a butthole to boot or, you know, just didn't have the same circumstances behind here, would we be talking about it as much?
Well, probably not as much, but Denver's a team that was 2-4 and they've won 7 of 8. So, you know, you win games in the NFL, you get media publicity, and two teams that get more publicity than just about any are the Giants and the Cowboys. And they had a great game last night as well. Very entertaining game. Both quarterbacks played well, and Tony Romo had a chance on a third down play to convert a first down, and he laid a ball out there for Miles Austin, and Miles Austin said he lost it in the lights. And the Giants scored two scores in the last 5 minutes of the game and pull it out, and a huge win for them and puts them kind of in the driver's seat in the NFC East.
Yeah, Tim Tebow would have made that throw, or Miles Austin would have made that catch for Tim Tebow. No, I just had to go there. It's fun to watch. I love watching the Cowboys lose. I've got to admit that. That plus they lost the young running back yesterday as well to an injury. Although Felix Jones kind of, he had a good game coming off the bench there, I thought. This is setting up for an epic matchup in Week 17 between these two teams, and what a way to close out the season for whichever network has that on the final day of the season there. But I don't know what to think. I mean, I had a feeling that the game was not over as soon as they missed that third down play, and sure as hell wasn't.
Yep, and then the only other thing I think to note is the kind of I had been I thought the Chargers might blow the Bills out on a West Coast game, Buffalo flying east and being erratic the last few weeks. They did, and the takeaway there is that Baltimore's got to go there for that Sunday night game, as you pointed out.
Yeah, that's going to be a key game, and I guess we still don't know the status of Ray Lewis going into this game. The Chargers, Jekyll and Hyde this year, and they have the Ravens coming into their place. Their playoff hopes are still alive, kind of small, but they still exist there. So winning this game will still matter for them. So it's definitely a game I could see the Ravens losing this game, or I could see the Ravens just putting the shellacking on them as well. So although the Steelers play the day after, how nice would it be if the or how would it play into probably some of the decisions to play some of these injured guys this week if the Steelers already know on Monday that the Ravens have lost?
Yeah, I don't think it makes the Steelers situation any different. They're looking for that loss and trying to get the win out. So I assume that what happens in that game isn't going to make a difference in terms of how the Steelers approach it. But as you pointed
maybe,
out,
maybe I should say adrenaline. Maybe not the decision. Maybe a player's adrenaline is a better way to put it. Because yeah, you're right. It's not going to matter whether or not these guys play because the Steelers still need this win. Maybe I should phrase it different. The adrenaline going through some of these injured players' bodies if they know that a good performance could vault them into first place past the Ravens.
And we keep seeing this from San Diego. They come out of the first couple months of the season and they underperform everybody's expectations. But if you look at what's going on the rest of the schedule, we have the Broncos at 8-5. They've got the Patriots coming in next week. Let's say they lose that game. They're 8-6. They have to go to Buffalo. And then they get Kansas City home, so that gets them 9-7. And you talked about the Chargers, and if they win out, they get to 9-7. We've seen Oakland really has looked bad the last 2 weeks, so maybe their season's about finished. So there are going to be plenty of incentive for the Chargers to go after the Ravens next Sunday.
Absolutely, and who knows what's going to happen in that West? Denver holds their own future in their hands right now, and that New England game will tell us a lot.
So, Dave, let's back to just general topics in the NFL. Anything going on that that we haven't really hit over the past couple of weeks because focused on the Steelers?
Around the NFL, I wouldn't say so much. I want to make sure we hit on James Harrison's comments today that he does not think he will be suspended for the hit on Colt McCoy the other night. Of course, what player is going to come out and really say, I expect to be suspended? The media reported yesterday, Adam Schefter and a few other people have saying that they could see one or two game suspensions on this. We both weighed in on this the other day. I have no clue which way it's going to go. I could definitely see the fine on this. But for me to come out and say I think he should be suspended or I don't think he should be suspended, it's such a gray area right there based on Harrison's past. I would lean more to him not being suspended, to be honest with you. I do think he'll get fined. I would even go as far as say that I don't think it'll be a six-figure fine. I think it'll be maybe a $45,000 fine. And, possibly no suspension. But at most, I would think it would be a one-game suspension.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way as well. I don't think he'll get a two-game suspension like Sue got. I think the same thing. I think we might see a higher fine, but I'm purely guessing, obviously, but I would think that maybe he doesn't get suspended now.
Let me hit on this, too. Did you see the story the other night with Todd Marinovich?
I didn't see the show. I know they did a 30 for 30 on him, and I know about Marinovich, but I didn't get to see the documentary.
Probably, David, that was probably one of the best ones ESPN has done. So if you catch it on a re, you know, check ESPN's calendar or schedule right now if it comes back on. There was an interesting point about three-quarters way through the program there, and this, and Todd Marinovich, they have quite a bit of interview with Todd Marinovich in this, which makes it so good. Marinovich said that after, you know, he was suspended for the 1993 season, I believe, after testing positive for a third drug test when he played for the LA, it was the Los Angeles Raiders back then, and Al Davis had cut him loose prior to the start of the 1993 season because he was suspended for all that. Marinovich took some time off, and he's sitting on the beach there and talking about that, you know, his change of heart being out that season and thinking that he wanted to come back and play in the NFL. He says that he got a call from the Steelers. You know, and that had to be that off season, April or May, the best I can reckon there, and that he turned down a shot to come play or you know, I don't know if it was for a workout, he didn't say, or if it was an invite to training camp there, and decided instead to go up to Canada and play for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at that time. So I don't think that's ever been reported before, or at least I have never heard that before, and it kind of funny how fate kind of works out. He went up there to Winnipeg, and on the first practice with Winnipeg, on the very first snap, he blows out his knee when that goes down. And the interesting, I've asked Ed Bouchette about this as well. Maybe he can chime in on this on a future chat and all. Is, you know, the Steelers drafted Jim Miller in that draft that April. So it'd be curious, and they also had Neil O'Donnell and Mike Tomczak still on the roster at that time as well, too. So it'd be interesting to see if they had contacted Marinovich about coming in before the draft or after the draft. Not that it makes two cents of difference at this point. It'd just be interesting to put that timeline together.
Yeah, Jim Miller, that's a blast from the past. He's a kiddo. I thought he would eventually, and in fact, he did get the starting job. I think just for a game, he got hurt. And ended up not really having much of a career, but he was a guy who I thought might someday, you know, be the guy running the show for a few years.
You know, I was at that game too, Jim Miller at Jacksonville Jaguars. I was at that game, sitting in the end zone that first game of the season, and all well too. So, just a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it.
Dave, anything to close out here? We're going to have a little bit of a short one, as I said, because of our technology issues. But we'll have the Tomlin press conference update on Wednesday when we get back at it. We will have a beat writer from San Francisco to give us an early preview of the 49ers. And, of course, we'll be back Friday with our preview of the game and our picks for the week.
Yeah, the only thing I can really tell you to mop this thing out up with is the Steelers have made a practice squad move for those two open spots that they had when Hoke and Dwyer were put on IR and Cromartie Smith and Morty Ivey were elevated for the game this past week. They signed Elijah Joseph, the defensive tackle, back to the practice squad today, and they also added Chad Spain, the running back out of Northern Illinois, to the practice squad as well today. So outside of that, that's all I have on my end. Please, you know, we appreciate the calls to the show, to the hotline. We appreciate all the emails that we have gotten. David,
we got an email from Craig in South Carolina asking us about salary cap issues and some of the future moves that we've kind of talked about a little bit, who won't be on the roster next year and what's going to happen. That's probably, we're going to devote some time to that. A little bit probably over the next 3 weeks, but certainly when the season ends, we'll probably devote a whole podcast to that. So appreciate the email, and that's kind of stuff that we will be discussing as we get closer to the end of the season.
Yeah, for us to try to nail it down in about 10, 15 minutes would be unfair to the listeners. I've got a whole bunch of notes on this and all, and opinions. I know you do as well, too, and I think it's better to devote more time to it in a future podcast.
All right. Well, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, this season 2, episode 55.